Welcome to Dead Man's Chest. We're back.
We are back.
And it didn't take us years.
No. What did it take? Two months, maybe?
2 months, yeah. It's a Christmas special.
Yeah. Wait, hang on. What's the date?
It's the something of January, which is pretty good for us.
The 14th.
The 14th of January.
Yeah.
To be fair, not entirely all our fault.
No. Sicknesses?
Sickness, work commitments, etc. And then just some of it is our fault because, you know, we struggle to arrange things.
Yeah.
We are rubbish.
And I mean, we could lie and we could say that it's the extensive research we've done for this episode.
No one's buying that.
No, yeah. I don't even believe that. It left my mouth and I was like, that's not convincing.
I haven't seen you since before. So, did you have a good Christmas?
It's just such a crazy conversation.
Weird question.
Speaking on the 14th of January, I did actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually worked, did some overtime at work, but all in all, it was a really great Christmas period.
We had a really weird one. Not weird, just annoying. In that about 3 days before Christmas, the washing machine at home packed up.
Brilliant.
Right, which is fucking horrible. Right. You know how they say that society is only ever 3 meals away from rioting?
Yeah.
You want to take the washing machines away from people. That's when that's when shit really starts to go down.
Three spins away from rioting.
Right, so we had no washing machine. The new one came and got delivered. We were about 2 weeks without a washing machine. So the new one's delivered. It's plumbed in.
Can I just ask what you did in the short term? Were you just rewearing the same clothes?
It was beg, borrow, and steal
people's
washing machines just to get us through.
Okay, so you weren't flipping your boxes inside out and back to front?
Only once.
Okay.
Yeah. So I get home from work, and both my parents are sat in the kitchen watching the new washing machine go around. Right. They've got tea, and they've got snacks.
Yeah. and it's like an event.
What are you doing? And I'm like, we've got Sky TV, we've got Sky Cinema, Sky Sports, we've got streaming services coming out of our ears, and they're watching the washing machine, right? And I'm like, you pair are fucking mental. And then I pulled up a chair and I sat and watched it as well.
What are we watching then? Are we watching
three adults watching someone's pants go around on a spin.
What temperature was it?
40.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Everything goes in at 40. That, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. You can have like blood stains on white clothing.
Yeah,
just put it in at
40 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So that was your entertainment for Christmas.
That was the entertainment. Yeah, that was post Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think people. We should tell people about the dynamic of our friendship because we go from not talking to then talking intensely and sending voice notes and then making plans abruptly.
Yeah.
Then maybe we weren't speaking.
That never happened.
So that's why. But we did make a commitment.
The problem is, right, is we have both got the organisational skills of a fucking carrot, right? So we do need to bring in like a manager.
Yeah,
because left to us,
it's like, you know, Schrodinger's podcast though, because we'll never afford a manager because we're not consistent enough.
Yeah,
but a manager would, you know, probably help us focus and actually put out content.
Or just give up after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, we'd break them. Yeah. But, you know, especially when we say, oh, what's on the agenda today? Oh, we're going to do a Christmas episode in January.
In January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But no, we did speak about this,
doing
this. And then, like I said, things got in the way.
Yeah. And most normal people would say, well, fuck it, it's gone. You know, let's just do something.
Yeah,
something else, focus on
but
on
in
the
lack
year.
Of having anything else planned.
Yeah. And I've not actually been, like, my movie game has been poor recently, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm so distracted. I'm just, like, doom scrolling on Instagram, watching movie reviews more than I'm watching movies.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm rusty as fuck when it comes to that sort of shit.
It's just that I was thinking about it, and that Christmas period, that 10 days, I guess, is really, really odd. Because there's very little else out there that you say, oh, that's a summer film.
Yeah.
I can only watch that film in the summer. Or I can only watch that film in the autumn.
Yeah.
Whereas Christmas films have become almost... Well, they are. They're a little subculture.
Yeah. That you'll get like fucking hung, drawn and quartered if you watch in any time other than December.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe November.
And
you
it's,
know.
it's really weird as well how your normal taste in film goes out the window.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think that we... I don't mind watching bad films if they're fun.
Bad Christmas movies or just bad movies in general.
But where it is like Christmas, it's like, have you ever seen like Christmas 24 on Sky? It's just like end-to-end cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Like what, just Hallmark movie after Hallmark movie?
And at any time of the year, you're like, no, fuck that. I'm gonna stay away from that. But in that Christmas period, there's absolutely no problem with whacking on some cheese.
Yeah.
Which is completely different to whacking off to some cheese. But right, which is also fine, just draw the curtains, right?
Yeah, you do you. Yeah. We don't judge.
No. I mean, I blame the diet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at what other time of the year is it like 11 o'clock in the morning and you are already half cooked on mince pies, Quality Street and Bailey's?
I know, yeah. And it's so accepted.
and it's like, it is that whole... The answer for everything in that period is, fuck it, it's Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's not. It's the 4th of December.
Yeah. And you're still at work.
Yeah. Where are your pants?
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a bit like that phenomenon that happens when you go for an airport. If you're going on holiday and your flight is at 9 o'clock and you check in at 7, you'll be drinking from 7, you know, and you'll buy a book. You've not read a book in 25 years, but you'll buy a book in the airport.
Yeah, because it's...
You'll endeavor to read it.
Outside of your normal.
Yeah, exactly. Bubble. And then you won't read it and you'll just keep getting pissed.
Yeah.
And yeah, or festivals. I don't know about you, but when I used to go to festivals and I would drink and, you know, other things would happen constantly, but you wouldn't get hungover. Something happens internally when you just enter these zones where it's like you just adapt. And Christmas is one of those adaptations. We're really good at sliding into Christmas mode. We're not so good at getting out of it.
Yeah. See, I always... A lot of people have the whole period off.
Mm.
So they'll break up before Christmas and they won't go back to the new year.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
No.
Because it comes up to like the 2nd or 3rd of January. It's time to go back to work. You're already upset about having to get up before lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then you find that none of your clothes fit because you've been wearing pyjamas for a fortnight.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just miserable.
And you end up turning up to like... an office, even though you don't work in an office. You just go to the wrong job.
Yeah, just random place. Yeah.
You're suddenly a postman because you thought that's what you did.
Yeah, why are you here? I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't fucking know.
Yes, hello, I am here to job.
One job, please.
So it's a very odd time.
And yeah, we're still in that now, I feel like. Like, I'm a bit like you, I work the whole Christmas period, not by choice, but I would... elect to maybe only have a couple of days off so that I don't have to restart. But I am in that Christmas hangover period now of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
I'm still like that. And I don't know.
Those first few days back to work, even like after New Year, it's like, what day is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just day.
Just put one down.
Yeah. You know. Just whatever. Or it's Sunday. Why are you at work? Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, so, I mean, I would like to think that that's why we're doing a Christmas episode now, because it takes so long to get out of Christmas.
It is.
However, the hundreds of thousands of other podcasters and content creators managed to put Christmas content out.
They did.
In the appropriate time, so we have no excuse.
No.
What is this one about, then? What do you want to...
Because I don't know if we've ever really... We've spoken about every other type of film, I think, between over the years.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we've ever nailed down our favourite Christmas films.
Yeah, I don't think so, actually. It's a good point. Can we just set some ground rules?
Go on.
Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, Batman Returns. Are they Christmas movies?
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you very much. Let's proceed. Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
Okay. Do you want to start then?
My first one, when I was younger, I used to watch it through all year.
Yeah.
But as I've got older, it has kind of dropped into Christmas time only.
Because you realise it's blasphemous to...
It is a Christmas film.
Yeah.
Is Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good
chat. And I watched it, you know, what has become tradition now. And I've watched it in like the last month or so.
Yeah.
And it is so good.
Yeah,
it is. So good.
When they did the one of the DVD re-releases, they put it out in... Remember Woolworths?
Yeah.
Any American listeners, Woolworths was just like a department store that sold entertainment, had an entertainment section. But when they would get to like November and they would do the reprints of the cases and the re-releases.
Yeah.
I remember Gremlins coming out with Christmas cases.
Right.
So it was, it's not our decision.
No.
They've decided it's a Christmas movie. Who are we to argue?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good shout. I always forget about that
one. And it's got everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like we've said before, practical effects. Mm. Everything was done puppetry.
Yeah.
The setting in the small American apple pie kind of town is perfect.
Yeah.
The casting is brilliant. The pacing of it is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just...
The theme tune's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Spielberg direct or produce or write? What was his input? I can't remember.
Directed, I think.
Regardless. Yeah, he's did something important. Again, fucking hell, we're rusty.
Oh, shit.
But... It is his MO all over of like really, really crazy, like unimaginable thing happening in an everyman small town where nothing goes on.
Yeah, where like, nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even the bank is just everyone knows each other and whatever. So yeah. But I've not seen it in a long, long time.
I
did you watch it this year?
Yeah. Well, in the run up, yeah.
Yeah.
And just every time I watch it, I just love it. And my favourite bit is still when the gremlins send that old woman up the stairs on a stair lift.
Yeah. Corey Feldman, young Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the stunning Phoebe Cates.
Mm. What happened? What became of her?
I don't know. But she's just heartbreakingly beautiful because she was in Drop Dead Fred as well, wasn't she? And she just plays that role.
Yeah.
So brilliantly.
I feel like there's something, there's been a weird transition in movies where you don't get like, I've mentioned it before, this low to mid-budget movie that I've spoken about recently. But there was always actors that filled those roles as well. And she was one of those that it's just like, insert her here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and almost every 80s film had those.
Yeah. That they just popped up and they could play a version of the same, you know, they're not character actors. They're almost like leading men and leading women without the superstardom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Denzel is just Denzel, but it's great. We love him for being that. And then you'll get someone like Walton Goggins from like Sons of Anarchy and all this. And he just comes in and transforms.
Yeah.
But you need that as well. And she was just, not even a placeholder, like a really important role in movies.
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist anymore. And I think because one, there's no such thing as one hit wonders in any capacity because it just goes to streaming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or it goes on YouTube or it goes wherever, social media. So like you just see people all the time. Whereas she would just pop up in a movie like, oh, here she is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's male equivalents of it, I'm sure, but she's one that stands out to me as in that kind of place. Yeah. But.
And there's, I don't know if I've always seen it in The Gremlins, but watching it last time, there's definitely, I think, some social commentary in there.
You reckon?
As well. I think really against the consumer society.
Yeah.
Particularly, I mean, this would have been the 80s.
Was it 1984?
Yeah. Yeah. So it would have been, I think, maybe squarely aimed at American consumer society that you can't just take what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this was pre-internet, pre-social media. So other countries, same for us as well. Other countries were just places that you heard on the news every now and again or you saw in a film. You didn't see the reality of it like you can now.
Yeah.
So I think there is a little bit of a warning, really.
Yeah.
You can't just have everything that you want.
Yeah. You know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I mean, mid-80s to the... mid-80s to mid-90s was like the peak of mass consumerism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's when... So it's interesting that something like Gremlins or a couple of years later, a RoboCop was already poking fun at consumerism.
Yeah.
When, you know, it wasn't... Maybe the 70s started knocking on the door of consumerism, I don't know. But certainly the 80s and the 90s were like much shit is being made.
And you're getting films, okay, The Gremlins is a comedy and there's some parts of RoboCop that is very in that same vein.
Yeah.
But I think it was easy to miss the satire in them as well. That it's like, you know, this isn't just a funny skit. We're actually holding a mirror up here.
Yeah. I need to watch Gremlins back because I never got that from it. But I think because... I don't think I've seen it in a long time, you know.
Yeah.
And I really like the movie. Yeah. I don't think I've seen it in a long time, so I've probably not looked at it through the right lens. I've just looked at it through like a fun
Yeah.
You know, like.
And it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But it, I can see that because even the opening and the dad being the gadget guy and,
yeah.
you know, he's a failed inventor and, you know, how much convenience do you need to yeah. open like a tin of beans?
I know.
And like, or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, the smokeless ashtray.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
It's an ashtray.
Yeah.
Put your cigarette out and it doesn't have to do anything else.
What do you think about Gremlins 2?
I do like it, I've got to admit. And it is, it does what a sequel does, has to do, I think. There's no point making a sequel to the Gremlins back in a small town because you've done that.
Yeah.
And there's no point giving us the same creatures because we've already seen them. So put it in a big city.
It's kind of like Gremlins 2 Lost in New York.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's yeah, Gremlins Take Manhattan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, give us what we know and give us more on
and
top of it.
And put some steroids into it.
Yeah, because that's, I think that's what a sequel should do.
Yeah, I mean, it lost me a little bit when Hulk Hogan stood up in the movie theater and was like, play Gremlins 2, brother.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on here? Why has it become meta?
Yeah.
Like, when did that... But I think it just... I think there's a point where they must have sat around the writer's room thinking like, fuck are we doing? Like we've gone so over the top now.
Yeah.
We need to tell the audience we're aware of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that might be okay. They might give us a pass if we just say we know this is ludicrous.
Isn't it weird that, you know, back then it's, you know, breaking that fourth wall is a little bit not sure about it. And then more recently we're watching Deadpool,
yeah,
who can't go 2 or 3 minutes without breaking
the
fourth wall.
Yeah.
And we're loving it. So it's really strange how sort of 40 years ago it was a bit weird,
yeah,
and now it's almost like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I think just because we 40 years ago we were closer to like traditional cinema rules, weren't we?
Yeah.
So when someone broke them it was like, oh shit, that's
yeah,
like really taboo. Whereas Deadpool, he's got the luxury of having a load of shit that's come in between.
Yeah.
But he broke the fourth wall in comics as well, yeah, didn't he, in 1992 or yeah, whenever he started doing that. What do you think of a potential Gremlins 3? Should they do it? I don't think they should. I think they should do a Gremlins, maybe, but not don't try and tack onto the legacy. This is where I don't mind reboots, is because they, if you want to do something original with an existing IP, okay.
Yeah.
Don't try your luck at tacking on, like Ghostbusters Afterlife, done it really well.
Yeah.
I really liked what they did there with the legacy of it, because number 3 had been spoken about for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Gremlins 3, I have heard rumblings of that for like fucking 15 years probably.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think I would just do it again.
Yeah.
Like just Gremlins.
It does make you wonder, is there anything there for another sequel?
Yeah, well, I would do... So have you seen Megan?
Yes.
Yeah. That is not... It's definitely not an original story.
No.
You know, AI coming to life isn't original. Killer Doll isn't original.
No.
But we now we can take mass consumerism and capitalism or whatever and we can apply AI to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not saying the Gremlins are not toys, obviously, but I don't know. I just think there's a spotlight on that kind of shit again.
Yeah.
You know, so if that philosophy that you were talking about, that it is about consumerism, if you're picking up on that, maybe they could do something. You know what I mean? Like we're slap bang in the middle of like social media, capitalism, all of that stuff. Maybe there's an avenue there. I don't know. I don't know, or do we go down the Jurassic World route of like,
I know,
they start farming Mogwais? I don't know.
Oh, God.
Or, you know, Gremlins the prequel. Because these fucking things existed before we met them in Gremlins 1. Yeah. Like, this old dude just happened to have one.
Yeah.
Didn't tell anyone. No, like, the FBI went on his door, like, where the fuck did you get this from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just had these monsters.
And he knew there were rules.
He knew
there
were
rules for a reason.
Yeah.
So what the hell had he lived through with these things?
He had one eye.
He had one eye.
So what?
And he smoked like a chimney.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This is a man that has seen some shit.
He's seen some shit, yeah. I'd be happy to see another one. But just as long as he's not Gremlins 3. And I don't think that makes much of a difference. But
I mean, thinking about it, I'd sooner see a prequel. About, you know, what the hell happened.
The discovery of Mogwais or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, what happened with this guy?
Yeah.
You know, why was he so, and rightly so, why was he so scared of what could go wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I would say,
I mean, let's be honest. He called it right when he's taken one look at this guy and thought, no, you're not. You don't.
Definitely not you.
Definitely not you.
But he also had this creature that has the capacity to cause absolute mayhem and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had it right there. Did he have a little cloth over it or something?
Yeah.
Hide that shit somewhere. Don't have it so a guy can just walk in and lift the cloth up and go, oh yeah, I'll have that, please.
Yeah.
Like, hide that shit
that
away.
That needs to be in a vault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's cute. Don't get me wrong. Like, but maybe don't have him in a storefront, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to watch it again. I need to watch... Gremlins 2 used to be like my hangover movie. I just watched Gremlins because it's so easy and so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I
mean, I like Gremlins 2 with like the mutations and the different variants.
Yeah, like the big spider.
The spider gremlin. One, there was a bat one. There was one who was like incredibly intelligent. And
And he's the one that created the uprising, wasn't he? And on TV shows and shit. Well, here's a question for you.
Go on.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how turned on were you by the female gremlin?
I think it was a steady 6.
I would say 6.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's just be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And that guy got lucky at the end as well.
Yeah.
Prepubescent
age kind of area. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, well, yeah, us or her?
Us.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just claw that one back. But also, you know, in that, I don't.
Very nearly a court case.
Yeah. I just want to say this. Did she rape that guy at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost certainly. Yeah.
There are no doubts. She sexually assaulted him in a bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was fucking shitting himself. He was terrified for his life.
You're going to be, aren't you? Because, I mean, you're sober.
Yeah. Exactly. That's, yeah. Have you seen the Necker action figures of her?
No.
I'm pretty sure I've seen some of them. They look pretty
cool. I have seen one, and I think it's from the first film, with the one that's like, with just like a rain mac that flashes at me.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that figure.
Gremlins is dark, man.
Gremlins has got issues.
So Gremlins is your, would you say it's your favourite Christmas movie?
It's got to be up there for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. Have you got any rituals when you watch it? Like, is it an event or is it just,
I don't get the cats wet.
No, of course.
I don't feed them after midnight, that kind of stuff.
Mogwais were definitely based on cats.
Yeah.
Like,
just assholes. They're both sides of a cat, aren't they? Yeah. Very loving, very cuddly, and then utter bellend.
Yeah.
There's just nothing else there.
How many brown, orange, and white cats do you think were called Gizmo following the movie?
Oh,
I'd like to see some stats.
Everywhere. Do you remember they were almost like Furbies, weren't they? That came out. They were everywhere.
I used to have a Gizmo toy and like a cuddly toy when I was a kid.
Right.
And I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And I had an adaptation of the book, an adaptation of the movie, like the novelization of Gremlins 2, and it showed a little bit more about what happened in between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I love that book, man. It was like, yeah.
So I'm going on Amazon when we're finished.
So I should have come from more prepared, because I really don't know what my favourite Christmas movie is.
No?
No. But I think it's Die Hard.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't want to say that is because it's so obvious. You know what I mean? But I fucking love Die Hard. I absolutely... That film can do no wrong. No. Now, let me park Die Hard and I'll go...
Before you go off on one, can I say something maybe controversial?
Oh,
that film does not work as well as it does without Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
He is one of my favourite on-screen villains.
Absolutely.
In that film. He is so cool. He is so planned.
Yeah.
No fluster.
Yeah.
He's got the playbook.
Yeah.
Oh, my favourite bit, I know I'm jumping all over your bit, but my favourite bit is when they cut the power to the building and like the FBI and that are outside going, I bet they're shitting themselves now. And he's inside going, yeah, right on cue. That's just taken out the lock on the vault. And it's like he's playing them like a fiddle.
Yeah, because you've always got that thing of like, when you find out it is about money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not an act of like, he's not doing it for the cause. He is doing it to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of flicked back and forth between that. But like, no, he is still a mastermind.
Yeah.
Like there is still like, he's a genius.
Yeah.
Absolute genius.
That actually, the only time you see him rare up was when she calls him, you're just a common thief.
Yeah.
And he really turns on him. He says, I am an exceptional thief.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Just owns it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is it a German accent? I don't know. It's just a villainous accent.
If you've never heard one.
Yeah, yeah. He's always like top five villains for me.
Yeah.
Clarence Boddicker is up there.
Clarence is up there.
Because he's just a prick for the sake of being, like, he's so horrible.
He's just a piece of shit.
He is. And I feel like Gruber is a piece of shit, but he's not. He's got some code. Mm-hmm. And even though that code is warped, he's got something about him. Whereas Clarence is just a vile piece of shit for the sake of it.
There's a bit with Gruber where, is her name Holly?
Yeah.
Yeah. She goes to see him because there's a girl who's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we're going to need
toilet breaks and stuff like
we're
going
to need stuff. And he kind of like goes, well, it's not my problem. And then she says, "Yeah, you know, effectively, look, there's going to be piss everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant and all that. And he's kind of like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he says, I can't give you a room, but I can bring a sofa to you or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think? That's like a little thread of humanity.
It's,
or is he so smart? He's like, yeah, actually, this is going to fuck up my operation if I don't
probably,
do this.
Probably, yeah. I mean, you've got enough on your plate, right?
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's not about the people. The people are just a convenience, really, because nobody from the outside is doing anything drastic.
Yeah.
While there's hostages. So the people are a convenience. But like you said, it's not about them. It's about the vaults.
Yeah.
So, you know, why be a dick about it? You've got what you want. You've got everything in place. It's over, really.
Whereas Clarence would have been... Just
Clarence would have been... Yeah.
Yeah, there would have been... Yeah. The R word and pillaging.
Yeah.
I know I've said the R word, but it's okay to say it when you're saying it about a gremlin doing it to someone. But so here's a 10-point question for you. What is Holly's maiden name?
Gennaro.
Oh, shit. Well done. Ding, 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 ding. You passed.
Pulled that from the depths.
Yeah. Right. So my favorite Christmas film, other than Die Hard, it is Die Hard.
Yeah.
It just is. But I'm going to go with the Dudley Moore movie, Santa Claus the movie. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that.
That movie just hits me in the feels. And actually, I've not seen it in about 15 years. So I'm going to make plans to watch it this year.
Yeah.
Because even though we're doing a Christmas episode,
yeah,
I have to say this year because we've missed Christmas.
We did considerably.
Yeah. So I'm going to make plans to watch it. I don't know why. I just really liked it as a kid. And it's
remember
it feels like Christmas.
Kid. And I'm wondering now, is it one of those films that was amazing when we were kids? And now if we go back to it as an adult,
it's going to be shit.
Will it be a bit of a struggle?
I think so. I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty fucking confident.
Did you ever see the ones on Netflix? Was it Kurt Russell?
Christmas Chronicles.
Yes.
Really good films.
I enjoyed
them. The second one lost me a little bit, but the first one was great.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of like the Hallmark movies. When you get... All right, what's the premise of a Hallmark Christmas movie?
Absolute garbage.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what it is, right? If you're ready, pull up. It's going to be a big city girl has to go to a small town to do something, whatever that something is. She'll get stranded there.
Weatherbound in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then she will end up falling in love with the janitor of the local inn,
mm-hmm.
And they'll have to save the Christmas fair. That's it.
That's it.
That's every single Hallmark movie, yeah. And guess what? They're all great. they're just easy, aren't they? Because it's you know going if it's a Christmas movie, you know you don't have to make a good Christmas movie. You have to just check a few boxes.
Do you know the other one I watched in the run up to Christmas, and this isn't my second one, but because it's not strictly speaking a Christmas film, I always thought it was from when I remember it as a kid, but I got hold of a copy and watched it, and it's actually Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Martin and John Candy.
Which makes sense. Then you put it in that context because it's just about getting home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you change the date, and it's a Christmas movie. And it is exactly that. It's people stranded, two unlikely characters thrown together and have to get, you know, just wanting to get home.
Yeah.
And it's a great film.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a hefty kick in the gut, actually, at the end of it, which I'd forgotten. I don't know if I want to say.
Go on.
About John Candy's character. I don't know, because it's one of those that...
It's been 40 years, you can spoil
it. I know, but it's one of those films where, you know, I'd understand if it's dropped out of, like, people's orbit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to ruin it in case, you know, sort of anyone listening to this goes, oh, actually, I'm going to look that up.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is it because what happens to his character is too close to home for what became of John Candy? Is it
To do with that. No. Just the story of this character.
Getting home. Okay. I won't say anything.
So I don't want to sort of take that away from people because I'd forgotten it.
And
when it sort of happens in the film, you're like, fuck. You know? And yeah, it sort of puts a whole different sort of spin on what you've seen.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. And it's one of those films where I think only John Candy could have played that character.
Mm.
You know, because he's such a huge character, not just in stature, but, you know, personality and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, you know, I don't know who the equivalent would be today. Possibly someone like Jack Black.
That's exactly who I was going to say. Yeah.
You know, you need...
There is one in every... It's like The Slayer. There's one... Every generation has one.
Yeah. And you say that, and now we've got, like, The Rock, who's, like, this generation's Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not actors. They're movie stars.
Imagine a world where John Candy was in the Ghostbusters. Like, if that came to pass, how would that look? Because he was in the running, wasn't he? Was he considered for it? Was Belushi considered?
Belushi was, so Dan Aykroyd, I think, wrote the part of Venkman for Belushi. And the story was, I think that is why that Ghostbusters isn't necessarily a comedy as such. It's very funny in places, but you're not seeing a script that is written to be funny.
Yeah.
You are seeing a script that is written with the Belushi-Aykroyd relationship. Because at this point, they'd been working together for years.
Yeah.
So that's what you see between Stantz and Venkman.
Yeah.
You know, you're not seeing Stantz and Venkman. You're seeing Aykroyd and Belushi. And I think the story is that Aykroyd was, you know, writing some bits in the script and whatever. And someone came in and said, is it John? James is still alive, isn't he?
Yeah. Jim.
He came in, somebody came in to see him. He says, John's gone.
Mm.
Says, what? He says, yeah, they found him about an hour ago dead.
Like, yeah.
Well
yeah. You fucked up my movie.
The works. And I think it was Harold Ramis who'd worked with Bill Murray on
Stripes
films,
or something.
Stripes, I think it was, who got in touch with Bill Murray and said, you know.
I'm pretty sure, where's my connection? Where's that thread? I think maybe, was John Candy going to play Rick Moranis' part?
I think John Candy was part in the running, I think, for Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think that works. I think it's just because I know it and I love Rick Moranis, so
yeah.
I don't want that to change.
It's difficult when you've got a body of work, and not just Ghostbusters, when you take a body of work that is perfect, and when you hear of who else was in the running for that role, it doesn't matter how good or big a name it is. You're like, no. You can't change what we got.
Yeah, because Ghostbusters is a perfect movie. Yeah. And even the second one, it doesn't matter that the movie itself wasn't as good, still good, but it's the fact that this group of people came together for that moment and they made those characters what they are in it. So let's take it back to Christmas. Because that's what we're here for in January 14th.
Because by the time we finish, it'll be fucking Christmas.
It'll be, So, so Santa Claus from way back when. But because I'm being so vague, because Die Hard is my favourite Christmas movie, it just is. It just fucking is. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about good British Christmas films, I reckon. Because we are English. Well, I am English. You sound English. Sound close enough, anyway. There's an obvious one, Love Actually. What do you think of Love Actually? Because I do end up watching that every year.
Yeah.
I don't think I watch it this year, actually. But generally speaking, every year.
It's one of those films that...
Another Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Where he plays an absolute villain.
Absolute bastard. one day, I know it's a meme now, but they, you know, one day we will forgive him for what he did to Emma Thompson.
But not yet.
Not yet.
Even his death.
Even his death.
Will not allow, you know, give him a pass.
Not having it. It's one of those films that I didn't think I'd like. I'm not a big sort of rom-com drama fan. And I think I remember catching it once on TV. Certainly didn't put it on purposely. And it just started. And then suddenly I was at the end.
Yeah.
And I'd loved it. It was like, how did that happen? Yeah.
It's a little bit dated now, isn't it? I think. The Richard Curtis's writing was for its time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his movies, they have staying power.
I know it picked up a bit of heat last year that there were not many black characters or any of that. This is where I struggle.
Yeah. Can I just say, there weren't many black characters in the movie when it was released. Week after it was released, 2 weeks after it. It's been 25 years. Let it be where it is.
Yeah.
You know, if we make a Christmas movie tomorrow, by all means, let's be inclusive. Exactly. We know too much now.
Yeah. But you're dragging up a film that's nearly 30.
Yeah.
So it's...
Damn.
I'm not sure what the gain is.
But also, I will say this. I'm the whitest person that you've ever seen, right?
You are.
Yeah, I'm translucent. And if I write something, and especially if I'm writing about something that's quite grounded,
mm-hmm.
My inclination will be to write about white people because
it's what you
predominantly know. Predominantly, it's what I know, right? I grew up in Southeast London, which was multicultural, you know, really beautiful place, lots of different races, lots of different cultures. I mean, London isn't beautiful, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But still, what I know is white people. So yeah, we know now that just because that's your experience, you've created a multi-million dollar movie, people do need opportunities. You know, we can't deny people opportunities, but it's a grounded movie probably about some of his experiences.
Yeah.
And he's a posh white man from wherever he's from, like Kensington,
yeah.
You know, 30 years ago, like just
predominantly white area.
Yeah.
So
like, come on. But again, if they remade it, absolutely, because it isn't a true reflection of what London and what, you know, these places are like.
And the risk you have now is, and for everyone, is you could write a character who is fucking legend among humanity, and that character could be, you know, black, woman, gay, Chinese, whoever, right?
Somehow all of the above.
Everything, yeah. Right? And as soon as someone mentions it, that it's box ticking, you lose all credibility.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you just say, no, I've written the character and this is who it is. And for every person who says that, you've got a million other people who said, no, it's just virtue signaling.
Yeah.
So it becomes spoiled then.
Yeah.
You could write this absolutely amazing character who, you know, kids will want to aspire to, and merchandise will make a fortune, everything, but it will always be spoiled because you've got the naysayers who, and for me, that's one of the biggest drawbacks of, I think that's only really come from sort of the social media influence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, everyone's got an opinion now.
Yeah.
Everyone's always had an opinion, but
now they've got a fucking vessel. Got a
platform to shout their opinions.
Yeah. From. And it's only 1%. And they just speak the loudest is the issue, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even see, because I watch, you know, being film and TV fans that we are, you know, we watch so many films, so many series, so many everything. I don't even see a black character now, or a woman character, or whatever. They're brilliant characters.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that they're black,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that is, you know, for me, I think that is the right way to be.
Yeah.
You know?
That comes from, you write the character first.
Exactly.
And if you do write them as a black character, as a white character, as a gay character, tall, short, thin, fat, doesn't matter, but you write the character sincerely.
Exactly.
Anything other than that, I mean, I'll tell you what,
respectfully,
though.
Yeah. You do it sincerely.
Exactly.
And that is the right way to go.
Yeah. And, but to say, and that's what we know now. and that's the best way to go forward. But to say, to start looking back on movies and start saying like,
yeah, that were made 20 odd years ago.
And also, who gives a shit if they're, if it's predominantly white? Who gives a shit? There are predominantly black movies that are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, that's, they're comedies, obviously. But like, yeah. Going to a Bollywood movie.
Yeah, I mean, not many laughs in Roots.
No. but yeah, go watch a Bollywood movie and look at that. Go to Japan and see what their movies are like. That we, in this spoiled, you know, America and the UK largely, we are like the one, we care so much about inclusivity that it spoils the broth a little bit, mm-hmm. because it ends up ruining the creativity, because mm-hmm. you can be creative
just
and you
make
can be
the
inclusive.
Damn film.
Exactly, yeah.
And not, and don't make any fuss about it, just make the damn film.
Have you seen Godzilla Minus One?
No.
Not one single white character, black character, they're all just Japanese.
Right.
And they all,
because it's set in Japan,
yeah,
in the 50s,
yeah,
yeah.
There's no revisionist history to be inclusive. They just made a good movie.
Yeah,
no one's saying anything.
No,
it only happens when they're white characters,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know why that is. And the people that speak the loudest are white women.
Right,
I'm sorry, like, you know what I mean? Like, no, these other ethnicities, they don't care. You know what I mean?
That's it.
White women with too much time on their hands seem to be the ones that are shouting the loudest.
Just make the damn film.
Yeah, just make the film, make it good. Doesn't matter if it's black, white, or otherwise. Just mm-hmm. make a good movie. And, you know, looping it back to Love Actually. It's an okay movie and it exists. It's in the history books. Let it go.
Yeah.
We'll make a new one. We'll put black people in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I didn't realise that people were kicking off about it.
It's almost like a new generation had discovered it. Although I do kind of worry sometimes about sort of like later generations, because I know there was a big thing, I think it was last year, about Frankenstein. And they were like, hang on, what if the creature is actually the victim? And you're like, that's the fucking story.
That's always been the point.
It's always been the case.
Yeah.
You Belgium.
People just need to make something out of nothing. Like, just drop it.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
I am waiting for it to say, look, I have discovered this. I shall call it the wheel.
Yeah.
Get out.
It goes round and round. I remember people were kicking off about Friends not mm-hmm. that long ago, because when it dropped on Netflix, I think.
Yeah.
People were kicking off about that they are like a bunch of white, whatever. It was just written that way. Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, and also, why are you arguing about something you cannot change?
I know.
Why don't you affect change in the future?
Yeah.
Make something new.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing you can do with history is learn from it.
Yeah. Not erase it.
Yeah. Yeah. Covering it up doesn't fix anything.
No.
Yeah. Look at it. Learn from it. Okay. You do this different. You do that different. So you do it differently.
Yeah. Exactly. You do it differently then. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's $100 million. Go make some money for us.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing about Friends was I didn't care that they're all white. I cared that how the fuck did Monica and Chandler afford that apartment? And they're never at work.
No, they were never at work. And Monica no was one always even knew
fired.
What Chandler did.
No, he didn't know what he did.
He didn't know what he did, right?
Oh, right. Sorry.
Back to Christmas.
Yes. So
because it is rapidly approaching.
One last UK classic, modern classic.
Go on.
Last Christmas. Did you watch that? With Emilia Clarke. And Henry Golding.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really nice little movie.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. Kind of, you know, was it the Wham? They did. It was based around Wham's Christmas song.
Yes.
Wasn't it, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, without giving away that little twist as well.
Yes. There's a really good twist. And it's too modern to spoil that. It's only been a couple of years.
Yeah.
But that's a really, really nice movie. And
like you said, it came out of just happened.
Yeah.
I will admit I was kind of coerced into watching it.
Mm.
And then one of those that you kind of pretend that you're not enjoying it, but actually, yeah.
Yeah, secretly are. And then you watched it on your own ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Emilia Clarke.
Nice to see her do something completely removed from not just Game of Thrones and that kind of fantasy genre.
Yeah.
But, you know, character-wise as well.
It was closer to who I think she is
a
little bit. Not the drunkenness and the scattiness, but
yeah,
a little bit more.
I mean, like, I have seen interviews with her, and she does come across as a genuinely a very warm and bubbly person.
Yeah.
But I think she was quite ill, wasn't she?
I think she had a brain bleed or something like that.
Yeah, I think we were quite close to her not being here at one point. Yeah. So maybe she's at the point where she's like, every day's a gift kind of thing. And
yeah,
why should I take things?
I think she had a big chunk of her brain removed, maybe. Or something
an aneurysm
like that.
Or a growth?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But we still got her, so we're lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, we are lucky, but her character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not saying she should have died. I'm just saying, why did we give her that role? No, she's fine. As a performer, she's always going to be good.
Yeah.
But that movie is a really nice movie, so that's my...
Yeah.
It's not even up there. It's in like top 15.
If you stumble across it,
yeah,
just leave it on.
But to really bring it back, Die Hard. I didn't want to say Die Hard too much, and I've said it so many times now, but Die Hard is my favourite Christmas movie. So fuck everyone.
And also Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
Another Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably more realistic for Christmas time is that it's spent in the majority in an airport.
Yeah.
Absolutely miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so much a movie, more of a documentary.
Yeah, exactly. it was quite brazen, really, to just repeat the same movie but put it in an airport instead of a skyscraper.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
And it was the 80s.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Where was it?
Where? Hey?
Die Hard 2.
I think it was still the 80s.
Yeah.
Did you say where was it? Or
no, yeah, was it? Oh, I thought it just dropped into the 90s.
I'll let you know. Here we go. I'll find out.
You'll find out. Here we go. Is this where I have to freestyle on my own now while you Google stuff?
Yes. What's your money at?
I was going to go very, very early 90s. One, maybe two.
You've let yourself down and let everyone down because it is actually 1990 itself.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah.
I said early 90s, and 1990 is about as early as you into can get. The 90s as you can get. I think that's a win.
It was only 2 years after. If you can tell me when Die Hard 4 came out.
Die Hard 4?
Yeah.
That was 2005?
So close.
Go on.
2007.
Yeah, say that's a win as well.
Yeah. And A Good Day to Die Hard didn't exist.
No.
So we don't talk about that. Yeah. So what's your second best Christmas movie?
Second favourite has got to be the daddy of them all, Home Alone.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just got absolutely everything. And I will not believe that when you were younger, you did not draw your own battle plan sketch of your house.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And like,
just in case you were ever left by your parents and, you know,
yeah,
two of the worst burglars tried to ever break in.
And scatter your micro machines at the bottom of the stairs so your mum breaks her neck.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
We've all strung paint tins up above the stairs.
Do you believe the fan theory that Kevin's dad is like a drug lord?
Yeah, absolutely.
How did he afford that house?
Yeah, I know.
With all those kids living in it. He paid for everyone's pizza. It was only $120, I think. $130, but still, back then, that's quite a lot of money.
Because the brother paid for the tickets, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Uncle Frank.
No, the one.
Oh, no, he's ever brought.
Yeah. The one that was in Paris paid for the flights.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I mean, again, what's he doing?
What is he doing? Yeah, why has he got so much money?
This isn't your American dream.
No.
Family. This is a cartel.
And did Kevin's mum work? Probably not. It was the 90s. It was the 90s. You know, you only needed one income to live in a mansion. Yeah, but it's funny how it's you know, it's a Christmas movie by virtue of the fact it's set at Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're going away for Christmas. That's it.
Yeah.
The buck stops there with the Christmas side of it, really, doesn't it?
And it does sort of touch back on those Hallmark movies of trying to get home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's the mum making that journey.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean,
But weirdly, the person making that journey, trying to get home for Christmas, unlike all those other films, isn't the main character.
Yeah.
It's the person who's still at home is the main character.
And John Candy also travelling again. He seems to only do that around the Christmas, around the festive season.
What a character, you know. And by all accounts, he didn't even want paying to do it. I think he did it just for pizzas for his guys. It was some weird.
Yeah. What, the character?
No, the
John Candy himself.
I don't think he wanted paying. To
really?
Do it. Yeah.
Because he's Macaulay Culkin's godfather, was he?
There was a real
some kind of link there.
There was a link there, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great and Home Alone 2 is great as well. Yeah. Genuinely great. Like, not just nostalgically, like actually as good.
I mean, I love horror films and things like Game of Thrones and I've watched all the Saw films and whatever. I've seen endless beheadings and people being skinned and fucking boiled and everything else. Right. Nothing makes me cringe more than when he steps on that nail on those stairs.
Yeah, and it only goes through a quarter of an inch.
That's all it takes. Yeah.
And that pause.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because that is exactly how it is in real life. I mean, unfortunately, in the past, I have stood on nails. And it didn't go in. It barely broke the surface of my foot. And there is that moment of, hang on.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the traps are violent as shit.
They're awful.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a thing, actually, about how quickly, had it been real, how quickly would they have been killed?
Mm.
And it was quite early on.
Well, what's the first one? Is it, the first one is...
The first one's the blowtorch.
When he puts his head through the cat flap.
Yeah, he gets shot in the head with the BB gun.
Yeah.
You walk away from that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Then he sets fire to his head with the blowtorch above the door.
Yeah.
And I think where it would have gone wrong quite quickly was the ice on the steps. Because basically, I mean, these are two people that are, like, let's be honest, middle-aged.
Yeah.
Probably above. You cannot fall down steps.
You say that.
When you're middle-aged.
I saw something the other day that Marv was only like 28 or something.
Oh, yeah, it's depressing. Yeah.
But still, yeah. Yeah, that's it. You'll crack quicker than the ice.
Yeah,
I love the fact...
There's only one winner when you come down from height onto icy ground and it isn't you.
Yeah, the concrete. Yeah. But when he slips and he somehow like... He just falls off the entire step.
Yeah, he
like,
clears them. Eh? Yeah. Yeah, so it's not just... It's not like a staggered fall down each step. It is, you have started off up here and now you are down there and you didn't do any of the bits in between.
My favourite, it's not even a trap, it's just brutal. It's just an assault in number two when he throws the brick at Marv's head. You know, when he's throwing the bricks off the roof.
Yeah.
That is brutal, man. Like,
is it the first one where the paintings...
Yeah.
Now, does he get them both? Or is it the second one where...
He does a long tube or something.
Where he dodges them. He hits Marv, and Marv's on the ground, and he sees the pipe coming.
That's the pipe, yeah, that's it.
And all he can do is point.
Yeah. Because I think because they're wise to it, they're like, ah, you hit me right in the schnoz.
That's right, yeah.
Because they've had it happen to him, and then, fucking brutal, man. Well, yeah. The scream, Marv's scream is up there.
Yeah.
I think it's a better scream than Will Ferrell's classic screams.
Yeah.
Is it the spider? Is that when he screams?
Yes. Yeah. And is it Home Alone 1 where he gets electrocuted and he's just a skeleton? Or is that...
I think it's number two.
Is that number two?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on. He would be... It's so violent, man. I hope they... If they released it on 4K?
Oh, they must. It must have at least a Blu-ray.
I hope it's... If it's still in distribution, I really hope they don't water it down.
Like, no.
It's so violent.
I mean, there are things now, and I know I've spoken with you about it. Definitely me and Dan have spoken about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I was saying, like, because Dan has got the little one.
Yeah.
You know, he'd probably be more aware of it than we are. That you get films and series now that it says may contain scenes that are upsetting to viewers and all very similar. But when we were young, there was no warnings. It was like, this is a kid's film.
Yeah.
And the kid's film would start and it's like fucking Watership Down.
Oh,
it's like,
mate.
This is what you get if Tarantino does a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Transformers movie where you're watching all your favourite characters getting executed.
Optimus Prime turns grey.
Yeah, and you've got other characters being shot in the head.
Yeah. Right. All the characters that our parents probably would have loved just getting wiped out in an instant.
We didn't get any kind of trigger warning.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Never Ending Story. the fuck's that about?
Brutal. Like, no wonder there's so much generational trauma.
Drowns in the swamp because it got sad. I mean, these were kids' films, right? And I hope, because when was Home Alone? 91?
Yeah.
I'd have been 9. Right. I went to the cinema to see that film. I think I came over here on holiday because I used to live in the UK.
Yeah.
And I'd come back to Guernsey for the holidays to see my dad and my stepmom. So I think we went to the cinema to see it. And there was no warnings. There was no...
Yeah, you could have probably got in on your own.
Yeah, there was no main contained scenes of anything. Mm. It was just, yeah, here's the film.
Yeah.
You're going to watch this kid pummel these two guys into learning difficulties and liquid foods only.
It's like Ghostbusters was, I know that was never marketed as a kid's movie, but kids loved it. They knew kids were going to love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that movie, you've got like smoking, you've got Venkman just being a sex pest and
drinking. Typical alky just drinking out of a paper bag.
And like, and the only reason that ever came to light for me was I was watching it with my nephew.
You've got bullying as well, because doesn't Ray end up with like 3 mortgages?
Yeah, so, yeah, they coerced him into it. Yeah, from the house that his dad left him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was born there. Everyone's got 3 mortgages.
Yeah. But my nephew watched it and he started talking about like, he started mimicking like smoking a cigarette.
Right.
And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, Ghostbusters have cigarettes. I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No wonder this generation is fucked.
Yeah. Like, and it's weird now how you see things that are so diluted and so, and I hate seeing things that are censored.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like
it. And I don't understand. And I've never liked like blanket censorship. We've all got our limit of what is acceptable to us, especially in the name of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but our limits are our own. Now, I could watch a film that I think, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's too far for me.
Yeah,
and I won't watch it. But that doesn't mean that you will.
Yeah.
Okay. But if I don't like a film or a book or anything, a CD, an album, anything,
you just walk out of it or leave it. Or
I just leave it.
Yeah.
What it doesn't give me the right is to say no one else can watch this.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, so no one else can watch that. I really can't get my head around that.
No,
that
I don't
way
agree
of thinking.
With that. No. I understand from a learning point of view of like, okay, so we know that we've been a little bit lax on censorship in the past, so let's streamline it. I get all that, but yeah, you're right. Especially if it's a 15 or an R rated movie or whatever, make it as like,
yeah,
make it what you want it to be.
Yeah.
But I think now actually a lot of the censorship doesn't even start from the creators. It's when they need the movie distributed. They got to keep dropping it to get
the most eyes on it.
When Expendables inexplicably became a 12, and it's like those movies weren't good. What they had going for them was they were R-rated, like, balls-out movies.
Yeah, they're not for kids, they're for grown-ups.
Exactly, so you can't then take away the grown-up bits and still expect to have a good movie.
Yeah.
And then you make Expendables 4 and you shit on everyone. But, yeah, did we go and see that?
No.
No.
I haven't seen it yet. I think 3 was... Don't. Yeah.
That was your limit.
That was as far as I've gone.
Yeah, yeah, don't
just leave it.
Just don't do it. Yeah. But how did we even get to censorship? What were we talking about? Home Alone and how...
Yeah, and how it probably should have been censored.
Yes. Have you seen Home Alone 3, 4?
I don't think I've seen... I've definitely seen 1 and 2, because that was kind of like a rite of passage, wasn't it? I've definitely seen at least one of the others, but I couldn't tell you which one.
Didn't they recently remake it on Disney Plus and it's called Home Sweet Home Alone?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it was a remake.
I mean, there's always been a little bit of a thing of like, do we need to retcon all of the Home Alone sequels, but up to number 2, and then just make one last proper sequel with Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, and
yeah, because we've still got everyone. We can't.
They're all still with us. Yeah.
And Kieran Culkin's now like a Golden Globe winner.
Yeah.
He's actually like, bring him back as... what was his name again?
Kevin McAllister.
No, no. Kieran Culkin. His brother. Well, the Pepsi... He used to drink the... What was he called? Fergus Furley... Damn. Because he wets the bed and he doesn't... Yeah. Whatever. But he's still around as well. They're all still around. Oh, can I dispel a myth?
Go on.
For the 12 people that will be listening.
Go on.
Macaulay Culkin was never a heroin addict.
No?
He was never a smackhead. That's a myth.
He looked like one.
He did. He really did. That was a Mandela effect type. Like, people just think that's what's happened.
Okay.
Yeah, he's never, ever been into that. Now, that is something that a drug user would say.
Yeah.
Even if they're sober now.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen some interviews with him. He's like, yeah, he doesn't know where that came from. He's like,
okay.
And he's like, the reason I would never do heroin is because I would like it. So he's like, okay. I've never touched heroin because I think I'd like it too much.
Right.
I think he went off the rails a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe partied a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole thing about him, because I saw a video of him the other day, or a picture of him, and he looked quite well. He's never been, he's a really cute kid. He's never been a good looking adult, has he?
No.
Let's face it.
Yeah, he sort of peaked at
12. Somehow he managed to, you know, get with Mila Kunis.
Yeah, I know.
But she's crazy. But yeah, so he's never been like this good looking adult. But he looked really healthy. You know, he had a little bit of meat on his face and stuff like that. And everyone was like, oh, in the comments, they're like, oh, I'm so glad he's clean and sober. I'm so glad he's healthy. And I'm like, I'm looking at all this thinking, how must this feel?
Yeah, I know.
If you've genuinely never been a heroin addict and people think that of you.
But how would anyone feel? You know, good to see you're on the mend.
Yeah. Excuse me?
I'm all right.
Yeah. I've been fine. What are you talking about? And I think it's because he just retired from acting, didn't he? It's not like he became a heroin addict and then couldn't act. He just didn't. He just walked away.
I think in some ways, Home Alone is probably almost the worst thing that could happen to you.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, the residual checks every year would be nice, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of film that... This was the 90s, so every film wasn't a huge mega blockbuster. They happened, like Jurassic Park and Independence Day and Toy Story and that. They were a cut above.
Yeah.
They were almost like cultural.
Yeah, yeah.
And Home Alone was as well.
Yeah.
But there was no guarantee of anything that your next film was going to be anywhere near that.
No.
So Home Alone being your first one, being so massive. I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, he did.
Where do you go from that? You can't go any higher because you're already there.
Yeah.
I know Home Alone 2 had its success, and rightly so.
I think I don't know if Richie Rich made any money, ironically. I don't know if it did. But
yeah, and then...
My Girl.
My Girl was popular. I don't know if it was as big, because it is kind of like... I don't know how much of a wide appeal it really had. I definitely didn't see it until sort of years and years later.
Yeah. Oh, The Pagemaster was pretty cool. Remember The Pagemaster?
Vaguely.
Where he goes to some old library and then he opens a book and he goes in the book and he's a cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah. That was really cool, actually. The game was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Where do you go when you peak so high? Like, I mean, there was an avenue for him, and it would have been that he'd become a character actor and not a leading man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like Taylor Kitsch, who did John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
They tried him for a leading man. Really good looking guy, good actor, but they fucking blew him up with John Carter. That flopped. And then now he's a character actor, which is a really valuable role in the sphere of acting.
But he should have been more.
He should have been a leading man.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where Macaulay Culkin would have gone. Because he did do things, I think he popped up in like Ally McBeal maybe. Like he was around, he did a few bits.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. But then he sort of retired because he had that fuck you money from Home Alone.
Yeah,
he didn't really need to act. But yeah, you're right. Where do you go? Who else does that happen to, do you think? Child actor wise. Because the two Coreys?
Yeah.
You're not going to get bigger than Gremlins, Goonies and Lost Boys.
No.
You don't top that.
No. I think Drew Barrymore struggled for a while as well, because obviously she sort of came in with E.T.
Yeah.
Which was massive.
Yeah.
And then I think really sort of, on the back of a film like E.T., you should be done. You should be set.
Yeah.
And
because she She never had success as a child actor, did she?
No.
She was a child actor.
Yeah.
She made E.T., massive film.
Yeah. And then never really got anywhere until really, I guess, Scream. I mean, Scream really sort of threw her. I mean, she was a big name in Scream.
Yeah.
Despite having a career that had been sort of patchy.
Yeah.
And then to kill her off in the first 10 minutes. Spoiler.
Fuck you, it's been long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I'm trying to think whatever, because the other options are like the River Phoenixes of the world that went the other way and succumbed to, you know, like the bad habits and the negative side.
Yeah.
That really did go down the heroin route.
But then, you know, if you take something like The Goonies, I mean, as massive as that film was, none of them really followed it up with any kind of success until much later.
Mm, and
I think Data and Chunk never really did much. After,
didn't Chunk become?
He's like a lawyer now, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that. Data obviously went off. Did he do indie before?
Yeah, before.
Yeah,
yeah, I think.
And he's just come back now and made a phenomenal comeback in the Star Wars universe. Yeah, he's winning like golden.
Sean Austin and Josh Brolin didn't really have success again until they were adults.
Yeah, and actually, Josh Brolin was another one who like. Sean Astin was lucky enough to get Lord of the Rings, which is another cultural phenomenon.
Yeah,
Josh Brolin didn't get that until he entered the MCU. Ironically, like he'd
been busy, but nothing was.
He was a working actor, but he was again a character actor.
Yeah,
he's a guy that would show up, really reliable, good looking, grizzled. He put him in a movie and he'll do a good job.
Yeah,
but he never really got the leading man treatment.
Yeah,
you know he'd been leading man, but he never really. He was never a star, was he? And even now, he's not a star.
Yeah, not in the sense of, say, the Rock Downey Jr.
Exactly. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? Like, the leading man thing doesn't... Like, Spider-Man sells the movie now, not the actor.
Yeah.
Insert actor here into any MCU movie.
Yeah, and it works.
Whereas back then, you had to be like, oh, let's go and see the new Rob Lowe movie. Let's go see the new Clint Eastwood movie.
But it's weird how it, even sort of quite recently, it's still kind of happening where actors are getting sort of sunk, really, by one bad film. I mean, look how sort of huge sort of early 2000s, like Halle Berry was.
Yeah.
Right, X-Men franchise was raking in money, couldn't spend it quick enough.
Yeah.
Then she had things like Swordfish, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Gothica, which was... a little bit twisted, but still awesome.
Mm.
And then along came Catwoman.
Did she do Monsters Ball?
Monsters Ball before
that.
I mean, she got the Oscar for that.
Yeah.
And then Catwoman came along and...
she got the Golden Raspberry for
that. That's it. Full credit to her, though. She went.
Yeah, I know. Did she say, like, my mum taught me if you're going to, like, you got to be a good winner and a sore loser. Be a sore loser, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the few that have actually turned up to the ceremony.
Yeah, and full credit to her. That she, you know.
Fucking hell. At what point do you? She must have just been locked into that. There must have been an ironclad contract that she couldn't get out of.
It feels like.
By the way, you know who cares if this is a Christmas episode?
Yeah, I know we've left it.
Yeah,
it feels like if you make this film, we'll back you for doing this film.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
But the trouble is, then you go into the zeitgeist as the Catwoman.
Because I think a Catwoman. Sequel or spin-off had been mentioned for quite a while and Warner Brothers, amazingly, could never get it together.
What, as Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was always a little bit of a thing because obviously at the end of Batman Returns, it's shown that she's still alive.
Yeah.
So I think there was always an idea that there should be a Catwoman film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just got lost in the madness of DC and Warner Brothers. And
yeah. When shocking.
When it came out, it was Halle Berry.
I mean, she looked good, you know. I watched it recently, and it is terrible. Like, it is so bad.
I don't know if I've ever seen all of it. I've seen...
It's hard
I've
to
seen,
watch.
Like, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. I don't know if I've ever sat and coherently watched it from... start to finish.
Do you know what really pisses me off about it?
Go on.
So I am...
is like... this just one thing or is there like several things?
Oh, there's only one. Other than that, it's perfect.
Yeah.
No, there's... So I like to write. I've been writing for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I was in the UK, I managed to get a manager and I was getting some screenplays looked at and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is a minefield to get someone to even open the first page of your work.
Yeah.
It is one of the hardest things. Once someone's had a look, if they like it, and then you make your first one or your second one, then you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you can start making flops, I guess, if that's where you're going, right? But I can't even get my fucking foot in the door and Catwoman's getting fucking produced with Halle Berry. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
How? How does... Oh, mate. How does Zack Snyder keep getting $250 million? I'm not a Zack Snyder hater, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that, but I do like what I see when I get a Zack Snyder product. But they've gone through 100 people before they get approved.
I know. I mean, Zack Snyder... God. I don't hate his stuff. I mean, what he did in the DC films. But I do find he unless he's kept in check, I think he veers too much into style over substance. His work looks amazing, but I don't want a film that just looks amazing. I want there to be an actual film in there as well. And I think unless he's kept in line, I think that's the way he goes. His version of Justice League looks brilliant, but I fucking hate it. Right? It's 4 hours of slow motion.
Yeah, it's a two-hour movie.
Yeah, and all the bits in it that didn't make it into the cinematic release and everything don't really add anything, really. The only person who I think comes out looking better is Cyborg.
Yeah, because he's actually in it.
Yeah, because he's actually in it. Rebel Moon. Great fun. Yeah, it's a Star Wars-esque thing.
He did write it for Star Wars, didn't he? Yeah. He pitched it and they didn't like it.
You can see what he was aiming for.
Yeah.
But again, there's so much in there. Oh, good. Here comes another slow motion gunfight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just what we needed.
Well, I'm just going to go make myself something to eat. And I'll, yeah. And it looks incredible the first time. But you think... Fucking hell, here we go. Another slow motion sequence, and yep, here it is.
Yeah, and it's funny when you say when he's kept in check, it's okay, because when you look at The Watchmen, it was frame for frame almost, scene for scene, panel for panel,
yeah,
from the book.
From the, yeah.
You take some cinematic liberties and all that sort of stuff,
that's but fine.
He was working from that solid framework.
Yeah.
300, same thing, graphic novel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was all panel for panel, but it was very, he had one book. Or one graphic novel to work from.
Yeah.
He did it. And that's probably why, even though Man of Steel was completely out there, he wasn't fully trusted with this whole universe yet. Mm-hmm. So he probably had a lot of red tape and a lot of eyes on him. And that's why that movie's actually okay.
Yeah.
You know, because we slag off the studio all the time. But actually, when you get the balance right, their input can be important, can't it? If you let someone off the rails just do what they want, you get the quest for peace.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If you put a little bit of like, we need this or this, and you can only spend this much money.
Too much studio interference, you end up with Spider-Man 3.
Yes, right. There is that, yeah. Or Fantastic Four 2015.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah,
thanks for bringing that one back.
No worries. I might watch that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm
feeling self-destructive.
Do you know, I actually own it, and I don't know why.
I've got it right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might watch it. But, so, any... Shall we at least finish on the Christmas movie?
Yeah. Go on.
Right. Let me think of another. I mean, we could... I don't...
Do you know one that I actually... And I never thought I'd like it because it was... You know, it's from ages ago and it's a little bit Christmas Carol-esque, I think. And it's A Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And it's... I think it's actually featured in Gremlins.
Is it?
Yeah, with the guy running down the street going, Merry Christmas, theatre, and Merry Christmas. And that's the end of Wonderful Life.
I only learned about that movie through Batman the Animated Series.
Right. It's just, I think, as much as we take the piss, and as much as people will argue about Lethal Weapon and Die Hard being Christmas movies, I think a general consensus is A Wonderful Life is...
The Christmas movie.
The Christmas movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
You should.
Did you watch it this year? Last year?
I watched it last year. Yeah.
Do you own it?
No. I found it on Prime Video and I was like, yeah, I'll pay $3.50 or whatever to rent it. And it's just...
Is it wholesome?
It's just awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. It's one of those films where it's... But it's from that different time of filmmaking. It's like, right, we haven't got millions and millions of budget. We've got... I've got 4 weeks to write, cast, produce, film, post-produce, and release this film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a much more attentive style of filmmaking.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what you get. You get something that is end-to-end, inch perfection.
Really?
And it's just a really, really, really solid film.
What's the premise?
A man gets a glimpse of what the world would be like without him.
Oh,
yeah.
I see the and Christmas Carol kind of.
It's very much a modern take on A Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think he actually is contemplating suicide.
Damn.
He hits a really shit run of luck.
And is it cool?
He just gets to the point of, look, my family will be better off without me.
Yeah, so there's...
And he's given a view of what the world would be like without him.
Is that a wonderful life, though? Or is the wonderful life the one he ends up with?
I think the wonderful life is that...
He didn't kill himself.
I think he's made to realise what he does have.
Yeah.
You know, that...
Very wholesome.
Yeah, that the world isn't just money and... work, you know, happiness and whatever is more than that. It's your family. It's what you do have. Never mind what you don't have. Look at what you do have.
Kind of it's the message every Christmas movie needs, isn't it?
I mean, it should be.
It kind of. Because I was honourable mention for me.
And if you get bored with being happy with what you do have, go and throw a terrorist off a building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It took me a second to think, what are you talking
set
about?
Fire to a burglar, whatever.
Yeah, do it.
Just to mix it up a bit.
Throw a brick at someone's head off a 10-story building, that's fine. But honourable mention for me, and I feel like less of a film fan now because you're talking about It's a Wonderful Life, and I'm going to talk about Jingle All the Way. I love that film.
Side by side, they are very similar.
Yeah. Arnie's performance is, yeah. But no, I absolutely love that film. And actually, I'm an action figure. Well, we're both action figure collectors, and I've never owned a Turbo Man doll, and I just call it a doll because of
damn.
Yeah, I need to get a Turbo Man. They exist, right? I've seen them around.
The weird thing is, with a Christmas film, a proper Christmas film, is everybody watches it, and that's not something you can say about many other types of film. You put Home Alone on, you put It's a Wonderful Life on, you put the Santa Claus movie on, and if you look, you will have kids that are tiny, you will have mum and dad, you'll have the grandparents all watching it.
Yeah.
You don't get that if you put on RoboCop or Gangs of New York or whatever, right? You will split the generations instantly.
But you can also have a Christmas movie that is... Like Bad Santa, that is just for adults, isn't it? So you get the genre, the umbrella genre of Christmas movie, but then you get the macro and the micro genres of Christmas movie that's also a road movie, Christmas movie that's a horror, action.
Very early sort of slasher movie, which is brilliant, really, which is Black Christmas. I know there's been a couple of remakes recently. Yeah. Avoid those like the fucking plague.
Okay.
If you find the one that has got... Who played Lois Lane?
The original from the 70s. From the
Christopher Reeve films.
Yes.
She's in it.
Okay.
And it is, I mean, not just as far as slasher movies go, I know they're quite limited in what they can do, but as far as like filmmaking go, it was phenomenal.
Mm.
But then it's a horror film from the 70s where... You know, you didn't need a jump scare every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, where the director was actually allowed to say, well, I'm just going to turn this up one notch at a time, a bit like they did in The Exorcist and with The Shining and that and The Omen. We're not just going to go, here's everything, pick the bones out of that. We're just going to keep turning it, keep turning it, keep turning it.
Until we get to the end.
And, until we, you know, until you realise that, you know, you've been clenching your teeth for sort of 20 minutes.
The kind of, the beauty of the first Halloween movie was that.
Yeah, exactly. That exact thing, wasn't it? Just slowly, slowly, slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to, blood and guts and jump scares everywhere. You don't need it.
I will take your recommendation.
Black Christmas, yeah.
Was her name something? Medler? I don't know. I feel we really need to warm up.
We do. We still haven't got a research department.
I know. We've got phones. Right next to us. So what are we doing next?
We had I was going to say it was a very detailed meeting. It wasn't. It was about three text messages, eh?
Yeah.
About the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
Which would be actually quite a grown-up episode for us.
Yeah.
I bet we can drag it down, though, too.
Absolutely. We can drag it down to the quality of what became of the Universal Monsters in 2017 when The Mummy came out.
I know.
You know what I mean? We can get to that level of depravity.
Yeah.
So if we're going to... Yeah, are we doing that next week?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What day?
Or definitely within sort of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely this year.
There's a lot there to sort of sift through.
Why don't we split the movies and then we'll trade in a couple of days and watch the other?
Yeah.
Yeah, should we do that?
See where it goes.
Okay, deal.
Awesome.
Nice spending an hour and 21 minutes with you.
We're getting quicker.
We are, yeah. yeah, all right, thank you for having me on again.
Thank you for coming back. I say coming back, I'm in your house. yeah, awesome. Until next time, guys, take it easy and we'll catch you very, very soon.
Peace.